Welcome to another podcast of Revival Today with Pastor Mark Chope, where our arms are opened and Jesus Christ is here to comfort and bless you.
It's so easy to get caught up in what's going on in society today and get caught up in the things that we're feeling in our personal lives. But I'm here to tell you today that you're not alone. And that there is a God that is able to go beyond your situation and meet you where you're at. And this is why we serve the Lord. I'll go. God wants to prepare us for greater. When God created man, the Bible says that he created us in his image. And with that, he gave us everything that we needed to be successful. He gave you everything that you needed to be successful. But then the enemy came along and he tries to mess up what God is doing. And today's message is Send Me, I Go, because I want to just talk about what Paul was experiencing as he began to teach and preach. He would share the greatness of God, and also he would demonstrate it. So I just want to share something with you here. In Acts 19, 11 through 18, it starts off like this. It says, then Paul went to the synagogues and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. It says in the ninth verse, it said, but some became stubborn, and they began to reject his message and publicly speaking against the way. And I want to start off this like this, is that the Bible was saying that Paul did not go to the street. He didn't go somewhere where people didn't know the Lord. But the Bible says that Paul went into the synagogues. The synagogue is a church. And it says here that Paul went into the synagogues and he began to preach. He didn't preach bashfully. It says he preached boldly. And when he went into the synagogues, he preached boldly about the kingdom of God. You know what was happening in the church? They began to argue with him and they began to rebuke him. So the next scripture says this. It says, so Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Someone said, took the believers
with him.
The synagogue represents the established church today. It represents how people study the word of God, but the word of God is not truly in them. And see, the thing about the scriptures that God has gave me this morning is I want to get us to understand that what God wants to do in your life is going to be miraculous. There's some of us that need a healing. Some of us need deliverance. Some of us are going through things in our personal life where we cry out at night and say, Lord, I need help. And what we have to understand is God is trying to answer everyone's prayer.
Amen.
So my God that I serve has not forsaken me. So it says here, Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. And then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall in Tartarus. And it says in the 10th verse, it says, this went on for the next 2 years. So Paul began to preach on his own. He took people out of the synagogues in the church where they were preaching the gospel, but they weren't living the gospel. In the church where they were talking about the fullness of God, but they weren't demonstrating the fullness of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? People today don't want the fake thing. They want the real thing. Yeah, remember there's a song that says there's nothing like the real thing. This is how it is with God. There's going to be many that's going to come and preach in his name and say things in his name, but unless they've been changed in their life, they will not be able to demonstrate the fullness. And the fullness that God wants to show us is that he is able. Somebody say he is able.
He is able.
And the thing that he's able to do, he's able to bless you regardless of your situation.
Amen.
He's able to deliver you regardless of your situation.
Amen.
But in the church, when Paul went into the church, they did not want to listen to the gospel. Amen. They wanted to talk about doctrine. They wanted to talk about, well, this is how you stand. This is how you position yourself. You ever go to church? You barely can move. Everybody get up at the same time, not criticizing anyone. But what I want you to know is that when God is in control, God moves in miraculous ways. It doesn't go the same way every week. The God that I know will send me down a different street because he sees a danger that's waiting before me. That's the God I know. That's the God that you know, that God said that he's able to do all things according to his glory, riches in heaven. So Paul took them out of the church, and it says that he preached for 2 years. So he was sowing into the people's lives for 2 years. This is what was happening with Paul. Remember when it said in the beginning he was preaching the gospel, he was telling them boldly the things of Christ in the church, but they began to argue with him and reject him. So Paul had to go and do what God told him to do. Amen. Sometimes we got to do what God tells us to do.
Amen.
So it says in the next verse, and I'm reading more of the English version so that everyone can understand. And it says, so that the people throughout the province of Asia, and both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Now, the next verse I'm going to go into is the 11th verse. And it says, God gave Paul the power to perform. Amen. God, it says here, he gave him the power to perform unusual miracles. It says here, when handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched the skin were placed on sick people, it says they were healed of their diseases and every spirit were repelled. I know sometimes we see on TV people saying, well, if you dial this number, you get this oil or you get this water, it's going to deliver you. Well, this is the scripture where that came from. People want to operate in the fullness of God. A lot of us say, Lord, send me, I'll go. How many of us do that? Lord, I'll go. Hey, I'm saved. I'm born again. Now, Lord, take me, I'll go. But the message today is saying, you can go, but are you ready? The church was operating in the word of God, but they were not ready. So Paul had to remove himself from the establishment and put himself in a position so that he could grow spiritually. And church, I want to tell you today that you and I, we need to grow spiritually because there are great things that God wants to do through you.
Amen.
And for your family members and for your children. He wants to break the family bloodline. Some of us are in families where our parents were addicted. Some of us were abused, and some of us were born with addiction. But God is saying that if you remove the veil of his holiness and you go to the place that he's trying to take you, you're going to find that you're going to have strength to overcome the attack of the enemy. Regardless of how you feel like today, it might not be sunny outside, but I'm telling you right now, it's sunny in my life because of the God that I know. Somebody praise God with me in here. If nobody praise God with me, I'll preach to the walls because my God is an awesome God. So right here it says that Paul, he had the power to perform unusual miracles. Somebody said
unusual.
Miracles. It says when the handkerchiefs or aprons had merely touched his skin, that means that the handkerchief just touched him. If you took that handkerchief and put it on that sick person, they were healed. They were healed. God is the real thing.
Yes, he is.
And the real thing is what the world needs today. Because I don't know about you, but people are going through. They're going through in their families, in their household. They're going through on their job. Some of us think that we can do it on our own. We don't need God's help because we're doing just fine. But God is telling us right now, he said, humble yourself and pray, and then I will heal your land. Not the world. He said, I'm going to heal your land if you humble yourself and pray and turn from your wicked ways. So do you just want to come to church like these people were doing? Or do you want to be able to operate in the supernatural, unusual aspects of the Bible, of the Word of God, where you can take something that you read and bring it to life? See, because God is not dead. He's still alive. Somebody say, he's still alive.
Still alive.
He's still alive. And so it says here that when it merely touched their skin, they were healed, and their diseases and evil spirits were repelled. So just because it touched the skin, evil spirits would repel. So let's go to the next verse, because I want to go there as well. I'm going to have Elder Jerry take that. That's the 13th part verse where it says the group. Okay, go ahead. A group of Jews.
A group of Jews is traveling from town to town.
Now it says here that there was a group of Jews traveling from town to town. Go ahead.
Casting out evil spirits.
Okay, they were casting out evil spirits.
They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation.
See, so they began to see what Paul was doing. So a group of them decided, I'm going to do what he's doing. So go ahead. So they tried to do what Paul was doing. Go ahead.
So I command you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you?
See, so right here, this is where I'm going with the word of God, and we're reading in Acts 19, 11 through 18. I apologize. It says here that the Jews were traveling, and they begin to try to operate the way Paul was operating. And they went forward and they were trying to cast out spirits. And when they were trying to cast out spirits, all of a sudden, now sometimes it was working because they were doing it in the name of Jesus. But on this particular occasion, the spirit talked back to him. And reread that statement where it said, Paul, I know, go ahead.
I command you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out.
See, so it says here that they said to the spirit, I command to you in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. See, the name of Jesus wasn't their relationship. They were saying, oh, this is the Jesus Paul knows. How many of us do this sometime? We're like, oh, our grandparents knew the Lord. My mother was saved. Oh, my brother's a priest. So because it's in my family, I can go and do it too. Because I know about it, I can do it too. So this is what these priests are doing. They say, oh, look at, this is the word of God. I can just read this and I can go and rebuke and cast out spirits like Paul did. So when he talked to the spirit, he told the spirit, listen, I can do it like Paul did. So I'm coming at you with the God that Paul has, but it wasn't their own, what, personal God. I'm going somewhere with this message. Go ahead and finish.
Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this.
See, so these are the leading priests. They were doing this. Go ahead.
But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied.
See, so one time when they tried it, the spirit replied this. Go ahead.
I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you?
See, come on, somebody say amen. I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you? That's what the devil was saying back to him. He said, I know what they can do. Matter of fact, I'm afraid of them. But who are you? What do you mean you coming up in my house? Some of us are trying to reach our family members and preach and pray for them. And we think that we're going to deliver them, but we don't want to change our ways.
Amen.
And because we don't want to change our ways, they are struggling in bondage. And God is saying that. He said, if you change a little bit of you, somebody's going to be delivered. word.
Amen.
If you change a little of your opinion, you're going to be an overcomer. But what we do is we say, no, this is the way I got to stay. I can't do it this way. I can't listen to the Holy Ghost. But God is saying, I'm trying to get intimate with you. I'm trying to get in your personal space so that I can deliver somebody that comes in contact with you. Somebody say praise God this morning. He's saying, listen, somebody in your household needs deliverance. And instead of you changing your life enough, just enough so that the anointing can move through you. See, because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes. See, this is the word that I'm talking about, whoever believes. See, the devil's coming in your life trying to take away the belief. Trying to take away the belief, but you don't understand that the belief is your power. The belief is your strength. See, and that's why if you only believe in the name of Jesus, you'll be able to withstand the attack of the enemy. Amen. If you believe Jesus in the word of God, you're going to have power to overcome the devil.
Yes.
And when I say power to overcome the devil, that means power to change a life.
Yes.
To change your life. So these priests begin to try to operate like Paul did. They tried to operate like Jesus has. But instead, the devil jumped upon them. Because they weren't ready. And that's the part about send me, I go. A lot of us come to church and we don't study the word of God. We barely know the word of God. And we're saying, Lord, send me, I'll go. Just send me. Send me the way I am. Why is it that we feel that we don't have to clean up? Church, why is it that we feel that we don't need to change anymore? There's a problem here. And the problem is that deliverance is trying to come in your life. And the problem is that you're trying to go without the anointing.
Amen.
And the Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. Somebody say that with me.
The anointing
breaks the yoke. See, the yoke is the burdens. The yoke is the stronghold. The yoke are the things that you can't free yourself. Those that are addicted to drugs, they talk to them over and over again. But I know a God, a personal God that I have in my life, that he can change a life.
Yes, he can.
I had a friend. And I was ministering, I was a young teenager. And his older brother was only 18 years old. Every time we would see him, he was smoking and drinking and doing drugs. And he got so messed up that they family kept sending him to rehabs. And his older brother knew that his younger brother was hanging out with me. And we were like 16 years old, and we were praying at 16 years old. They would come over my house, and I was playing ball, and that's where we get it messed up about church. We act like we can't be normal in life. But the God I serve is an awesome God. So we used to get together, and the whole neighborhood would come over our house, and they would knock on. If we weren't out playing, no one was out playing. That's how crazy it was in our neighborhood. So they would come to our door and knock on the door. Hey, Joe, Mark, you want to come out? Let's play some basketball. Let's play some baseball. We would play against the other neighborhoods. But then, as they got to know me, they seen that I love God. They knew that there was something different about this young man, this teenager. So they would come hang out with me. And the brother of the one that was addicted started hanging out. And we just started talking about God. And he said, I'm a Catholic, and I said, it doesn't matter. I don't even see where it says in the Bible who you need to be. All I know is it says you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I said, I don't care what church you go to. The Bible's talking about changing a life. So I began to teach, and I began to share with these young brothers, and we became established in the Lord where they were coming. These are teenagers coming over the house on Tuesdays just to pray. And it was so powerful that we had about 20 kids 20. It got so amazing that the school gave me a room to preach. Some of you don't know, but see, I've been going through phases in my life where I had a learning disability. I couldn't hardly read or write. Can't put a sentence together. But the God I know was doing great things in my life. And so what happened here, and even when I was great on the football team, I used to have to sneak off to the room, to the room where none of the other kids were in. Every one of us, sometimes we think that, oh, well, we're going through. Everybody has a cross to bear. See, so when I began to preach to these young people, and we were hanging out, we were having fun, we weren't out smoking, drinking, doing the drugs, running and getting girls pregnant, doing all that stuff. No, we were living a life. And it changed these kids' lives so much that their parents started calling up. It got to the point where the parents said, listen, I don't want y'all to go over there no more. And I told the kids, I said, don't worry about that. I said, just be who you are and show your parents that you're a better person, that you're changing. And they begin to do this. And then all of a sudden, some of the kids that was stopped praying, and they started back going into the world. And guess what the parents did? Called me up. Hey, can you come and help me with my son? So now I'm going back to this part of the story with the young man. His brother was addicted so much that he went to 3 rehabs. He was only 18 years old. And so one night, he came to our door at 11 o'clock at night, banged on the door. I come to the door, and it wasn't his younger brother, it was his older brother, the one that used to laugh at us when we would go by him. He came to the door and said, listen, I tried a lot of rehabs, and I'm done with my life. And I remember that night because it touched my heart. He said, Mark, you're the only one I know that can help me. This is what God is saying to you. There's somebody that can't get to me, but they're trying to get to you. And the individual came to the door and said, you're the only one I know that can help me. Some of us don't want to change our life and be a real living example. You don't even know that somebody's broken and somebody needs deliverance, and you're the only one they know. And so they came to my door, and he began to knock. And when he talked to me, he said to me, guess what? You're the only one I know. And then I said, listen, I know somebody too. And I said, but the one that I know is Jesus, and he can deliver you. He can touch the brokenhearted. He can heal the sick. So we went down to the basement, and we began to pray. And I was just a 16-year-old teenager crying on my knees. And I was saying, Lord, 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 I need you. Lord, Lord, please deliver him. And guess what that brother did? He was slain in the spirit. Because the anointing of God was on us. And he was slain. And you know what happened from that day? He never touched a drug or alcohol again. And do you know where he is right now? He's a preacher. He's a pastor at a major big church, like thousands of people in Florida. He's a pastor. See what God can do. See what God can do. When you say, Lord, send me, I go. He says, first stop for a moment and change your life enough so that I can purify you, so I can get you ready. Because the devil is going to try to jump on you and destroy your faith. But there's somebody in your life waiting on you. Hallelujah. This is what I'm talking about, the goodness of God. This is what I'm talking about, the goodness of God. Church to me is about strength. When you come into the house of God, you should become victorious. You should become powerful. That whatever demon comes into your presence has to get out. Because my God is an awesome God. Is your God an awesome God? So when they begin to preach, that spirit said, Paul, I know. I even know Jesus, but who are you? So I'm telling you today, who are you? Do you know a man? Do you really know him? See, because life is too hard life is too hard. And when I tell you my story about the reading and writing, it was so bad. But I thank God, because when I used to read in Bible study class, the kids would all laugh at me. In church, got so bad, I told a pastor that would ask me to read all the time. I said no, because I was bearing the cross. I'm a teenager now, and I'm 20 years old. And guess what God did with me? I'm an engineer at Lockheed Martin. I still have a hard time writing and reading. But the God I know is an awesome God. See, that's what I'm saying. God will take the ordinary and make them extraordinary. God is trying to take you, you, and you and make you special. See, so when people see me, one day I was in concert. And I was up way up north, and I was in this big concert, and it was this theater, and everyone was singing. And then at the end of my concert, guess who came up to me? A teacher that knew me. And he was one of the teachers in the room that I couldn't read or write. And he says, "I can't believe you can sing all them songs and know every word." You see how the God I know. See, I had to get memory. Some of us are tracing dreams. Some of us are chasing careers, but God is saying chase him. Chase him and run for your life. You chase after him and you allow him to change your life, and you're going to be moved like never before. You're going to learn how to be a good father. You're going to learn how to be a good wife. You're going to learn how to be a good child. And you must make one decision. Are you going to stay religious? Are you going to get sanctified? Come on, somebody. We're going to get sanctified.
Thank you for joining us today. And if the Word of God has blessed your heart, come on down and visit us every Sunday at 10 o'clock and Wednesday for Bible study at 7. 1850 Elm Street, Manchester. This has been Revival Today.